Welcome to Free Fire Radio. The phone lines are open at 221-1402. And now, Free Fire Radio.
Radio. About to commence on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. It's a beautiful Monday morning, the 12th of January. And guess what? It is too hot out there. Shouldn't we be having snow? Shouldn't we be having rain? This is Carl Bott, and welcome to the show. We've got guests here today from the utility company. We have a couple of their finest here to be talking to us. But first, I want to introduce our crew, Kelly Frost Jr. Good morning, Kelly.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing this morning?
Did you have a good weekend?
I did. That's good. A little bit sore. Played some football yesterday.
Oh, you did, huh? Mm-hmm. So who were you playing for, Philadelphia?
I'm going to have to go with the Cardinals.
Oh, okay, you going with the Cardinals?
Yeah.
You think they're going to get into it, huh?
Yeah, I hope so.
Okay, good.
The Steelers played a great game, though.
Steelers played a great game. And by the way, it's my soulmate, Linda Bott.
Good morning. And I don't know how you all felt about the Golden Globes last night, but usually I just love watching those award shows. And I was snoozing, and I'll tell you why. Because we have a puppy. So my schedule's really off. But, I want to share with you. In the movie, Slumdog Millionaire swept all four categories in which it was nominated.
I don't even know anything about this movie.
Oh, well, my friends in L.A. said you've got to see this movie. It's a great movie. It's probably already gone from up here. And in TV, the HBO miniseries John Adams collected four. No, we saw that, and rightfully
so
it should.
The guy that played John Adams and his wife both won.
So quickly, I'll give you a rundown. Best Supporting Actress went to Kate Winslet for The Reader. Best Original Song from the motion picture The Wrestler. Now that, do you know who got Best Actor?
Was that Mickey Rourke?
Yes.
Is that his name? Yeah.
He said it's a long road to come back. Good for him. So Best Animated Film was WALL-E, and Best Actress in a Comedy or Musical was Sally Hawkins with Happy Go Lucky. Best Supporting Actor was Heath Ledger. We did see, I woke up for that in Dark Knight, and that was the director of that movie gave a very beautiful speech, acceptance speech on his behalf. Best Screenplay was Slumdog Millionaire. Best Original Score, Slumdog Millionaire. And the Cecil B. DeMille Lifetime Achievement Award, of course, went to Steven Spielberg. Best Director, Slumdog Millionaire.
I can't help but think, when I see these award shows out of Hollywood, done by Hollywood people, is that it's kind of like a self-licking ice cream cone.
This is for the foreign press.
I know, but they suck up to them. Anyway, hey, look, we've got to take a quick break. We have two of REU's policymakers here, or at least the policy explainers here. We have Bernie Fargin, customer service manager, and we've also got Vince Carlson, who's a customer service supervisor. They're going to be able to answer a lot of questions. Now, if you've got questions about the policies, about people being abated, then this is the place to come to. And we've already got people on the phone. We'll get to you as soon as we get back. This is Carl Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. Hey, this is Carl Linda Bott, and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on Newstalk 1400 KQMS. This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew at 2243 Hilltop, home of Espresso Joe's, the finest walk-in humidor in the North State. They do wholesale and retail. You visit Tobacco and Brew, you're supporting this show. One of the reasons we can do this show and our Saturday shows is our sponsors. So you support these sponsors, we'll continue, and you all seem to like this show. We love doing it. So, okay, our guests today are Bernie Fargin and Vince Carlson, and we've got somebody that's been on the phone now for a long time. Let's go to the phones. Joe, good morning.
Hello. I want to thank Carl and Linda for addressing this today on your show.
Well,
thank you.
It's your show. We just kind of like provide some airwaves here.
Well, thank you for that. Hey, listen, I have two questions, if I may. On Friday, Mr. Hamilton stated that it was actually a state law that requires an occupied residence to have power, and what I'm looking for is the government code or statute to back up Mr. Hamilton's claim.
Okay, Bernie, why don't you take that one, because we've been talking about it.
Good morning, Carl, Linda, and Kelly, thank you for very much for having us on your show this morning.
Maybe we got to get the information out.
And the question on the California state statute, if Jim were here, he may be able to cite that. He is not joining us this morning. I am working to get that. I will work and try to get that information before the show is over.
Yeah, he's already making phone calls on that one, Joe.
Okay.
All right.
Second question, though.
Okay, my second question is twofold. Since staying in your home is considered a health and safety issue, can you please tell me what the city does to ensure the health and safety of customers, especially those with medical problems, when they're forced out of their home with the threat of a $2,500 a day fine? And common sense tells me that being homeless presents a larger risk than simply being in your home without electricity. Doesn't this present a legal liability for the city?
Great question. I'm not sure exactly how to answer it other than there's a state statute that requires the action that the city's taking. What specifically they're doing, and I'll try to recite kind of what Jim had communicated on Friday, and that is once development services and code enforcement is notified that there's a home in Redding that does not have utilities connected to it, they will send a letter to that resident. They typically will go out and do a review and see if, in fact, there is a health risk to the degree that is a threat to human life. And I think what he communicated on Friday was there were somewhere around 900 homes last year that were reported to development services. Of those 900 homes, they actually went out and abated 8 of them. 7 were apartments. 1 was a single family residential.
You know, Joe, I don't want to be talking for you, but I think what she's saying is that, you know, the process is there. Now, mm-hmm. What other process is anybody looking at the process to see what's happening to those families? Mm-hmm. Is it more dangerous to keep them in the homes or to put them out in the street? Am I getting that right,
Joe? You are absolutely correct, Carl. Thank you.
Yeah, and I think I better understand the question. If you're looking for my opinion, I don't really have one to share other than from the city's perspective, we're following state statute in the actions that we're taking. The question whether or not that's better or worse for the individual, I assume that was debated in the state legislature when that law was passed.
I think what we're going to have to do, Joe, and as this morning goes on, we're going to be talking, and what Bernie and Vince are doing is they're going to try and explain and defend a process that they did not put in place. So
okay.
I think what we need to do is talk a little bit more about this process, and then let's get a city councilman or a mayor in here and say, this is your process, city council, that you all voted on and said you want to do this. And, you know, has there been given any thought to saying, instead of tossing people out, what can we do to keep them in there and not destroy the utility by, you know, a million, or no, by everybody saying, well, I'm not going to pay either.
Absolutely. You know, it raises another question also, which if this is a state statute, then why wouldn't PG&E be required to report people that they shut off? I mean, there's a lot of questions here to be answered.
Well, there are, and I think the more we talk about it, and the fact is that Bernie and Vince are here trying their best to answer questions. They're not, you know, I mean, they're not, you know, stonewalling us in the sense that, well, I'm not going to appear on his show
because
people are going to hurt me. They're not doing that. On the other hand, there are questions, and there's one big one, and I'm going to tease everybody with this one because we've got to take a quick break here. But it's going to be a question another listener called.
Okay.
He wrote in to me. And people can send us emails there, you know, of course, on freefireradio.com. But if you've got questions, this is a good time to do it. You know, people were talking about, you know, people got off subject. Well, you're right on subject with this, Joe, and I hope some other people are going to call in with some other questions here.
I do, too.
All right.
I really appreciate your time, folks.
But hey, you know
what?
We appreciate the interest that people have in this. You know, it's not like you're throwing, you know, if there's a lifestyle choice, you know, you don't want to pay your bill. I could care less. You know, go out and lay in the street.
Absolutely.
But if you're trying hard, you know, this is too good a part of the country for us to let people happen to people. And you all care, and you know, and we care. So thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
All right, we've got to take a break. It's Carl and Linda Bott, 57 degrees out. We're listening to Vince Carlson, Customer Service Supervisor, and Bernie Fargin with the Customer Service Manager of Redding City Utilities. The time is 8:20, and we'll see you on the other side. Welcome back. You're listening to Carl and Linda Bott with Free Fire Radio. Right now, we have two very special guests in our studio and a very hot topical. Well, let's just get right down to it. We're going to ask Vince Carlson, who's Customer Service Supervisor. Good morning, Vince.
Good morning.
Thank you for being on our show.
Thank you for having us this morning.
And we want to hear what the Customer Service Supervisor does for Redding Utilities.
Well, there's several of us in that position in our department, and we all basically support or provide support to our customer service representatives in to ensure that they can help provide good customer service to our customers when they come into our walk-in center or call into our call center. And it's just helped to provide assistance to
to our customers there, right?
To our customers, yeah.
That's,
right. Yeah.
That's what a customer service guy
thank
does.
You, thank you.
All right. Hey, can I do that job then? Yeah. Oh, okay. Let's go to the phones. George, good morning. You're up.
Good morning. How are you today?
We're doing pretty good, George. Thanks for calling.
Hey, one thing I'm wondering, I have some rentals, and when I call a city and say my tenants aren't paying their utility bills, I'm going to shut them off. They say we can't do it. But on the other hand, they can do it. I don't understand where the health problem or where the fire hazard or anything is any different.
Well, I can answer that. When it comes to active service at a location, that service is in the customer of record's name, and they are supposedly paying for the service to be provided. And the landlord cannot take it upon themselves to stop that service. We are under contract with that customer provide that service to them.
No, you misunderstood what I said. What I said is if I am paying the utilities on the unit and they don't pay rent, which pays for the utilities, why you have the right to shut, you don't have the right to shut them off when I ask you to, or my bill when I ask you to, but you do have the right to shut yours off.
Well, I think it comes down to due process to the customer. Under the rental agreement that you have with that customer, you are saying that you are going to provide those services to that customer as a part of being in that agreement. And I think that there are laws.
Under the same thing, you have the same thing. If they don't pay, you're going to cut them off. If they don't pay me, I'm going to cut them off. But you, as a city that's supplying me with power, will not let me shut the power off.
Okay,
in that situation.
Sure.
I really think I know where it comes from, but I would like to have you give me an answer.
Okay, this is Bernie. Maybe I can weigh in here. There's only one utility there's five utilities in the city of Redding. They're the only utilities. They provide service. They connect, disconnect. You as a property owner do not have the same legal rights as a utility has. Your relationship with the customer is governed by the contract you sign with them, which is your rental agreement.
Mm-hmm.
You can't use your rental agreement as a lever to get the utilities to do something that you want them to do. You're not part of the utility process.
But I am if I pay for the utilities, if the utilities are in my name.
And you're providing those utilities to a tenant that's living in your apartment.
Correct.
Right. Yep. But I think what your question's asking is, if they don't pay you, can you have the utility turn them off?
Mm-hmm. But I can't. If I don't pay the utilities, you're causing a problem. If I don't pay the utilities,
mm-hmm.
you're going to, I don't know what you're going to do then. I guess you're going to shut them off, but it's the same. It's the same situation just around the corner.
Okay. Well,
and I don't understand, what you're telling everybody is that you have a process. Well, I do too. And my process, if I don't get paid rent, I don't pay utilities, so I can't shut it off, but you can.
Yeah, and maybe I could explain a little bit further what that process is to help create some distinction between the two things. If you as the property owner let's say you have a master meter water, your electric meter's master meter, so all of your tenants are getting that utility service that you're collecting as part of your rent or separate from your rent.
Mm-hmm.
If you choose to not pay that as the property owner, what happens is we don't come out and turn it off. What we will do is we will post your tenants and say that the person that owns this property is no longer paying the utilities, and we offer any of those tenants to come in and set up service.
Okay, look, we're going to have to break right here. George, if this still doesn't answer your question, he'll finish this up on the other side. This is Carl Lindabot on Free Fire Radio. Phone lines are backed up. We'll get to you as soon as we get back. This is Carl and Linda Bott. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Okay, George, we're going to try and end this one, you know, with this answer. Okay, you still there?
All right. Yeah.
All right.
George, it's Bernie Fargin again. Please, why don't you give us a call and we can talk at great length about this if you'd like. It's obviously important to us that you have an answer and there's a good complete understanding. You're welcome to call our customer service line, and I'll just give this for everyone. It's area code 530-339-7200. You or anyone else can also email us at customer service. It's customer service at ci.redding.ca.us. And that's also on our website, all those contacts.
Okay, one thing else, Carl.
Yeah.
When I don't pay my bill because of my renter, because I can't afford to nowadays, it goes against my credit at the City of Redding. I have been with the city for probably 50 years, and my credit is perfect.
Yeah.
And so now because somebody doesn't pay, times are bad, I can't pay, my credit goes bad, but theirs don't.
I know. See, that's not fair, and that's why we need to talk about that too. Is that people are, you know, because obviously you're keeping them in there, helping them. So, but you're the one that's getting hammered. So, talk with, give Bernie a call and tell him George is calling so they can get him through, and he'll make sure he gets hold of you.
Okay.
Thank you. You bet. Martin, good morning.
Good morning. The problem I have with this is they keep stating state law that utilities have to be run to a unit or a dwelling. There is no state law, if I'm correct, that insists that you use utilities. Is there? If I choose not to use utilities, how can they throw me in the street?
You know, Martin, that was one of the questions that somebody had written to me, as you probably know.
Yeah.
And I'd asked them that. So they are trying to get that answer. But I'm going to let Bernie answer this because the answer surprised me.
Caller... You're on the right track here. My understanding of the requirement for utility services to be connected to a dwelling is correct. However, the point you're making is also correct. You can have utilities connected to your home. You cannot run any water if you choose not to for the entire month or for an entire year if you want to. You can choose not to use any electricity in your home.
Okay.
If you choose to, what the law requires is it to be connected. It needs to be available.
I understand that. Yeah. And that's the whole base of this problem. People get shut off. Well, the utility is still available to the unit if they get it hooked back up. But the fact that they aren't using it, I don't believe is cause for evicting them or abating them.
And I think you're correct. The city is not abating someone for choosing not to use them. The abatement process...
Apparently they're abating them because they cannot pay the bill.
Yeah, that's...
So we need to be clear on why they're being abated. They're not being abated because it's an unsafe condition. They're being abated because they are not paying that electric bill.
Okay, I think you're making another great point here. They're being notified that utilities are not connected to a residence. They are abating people because a health issue, the eight people that...
But it's not a health issue if they're paying the bill but just not using it.
I understand that. I think the connection you're trying to make here is that because they don't have utilities available, that equals an unsafe thing, and they're being abated. In fact, my understanding from Jim's comments last Friday was that The only time people are being really abated, and I hope I'm using that term correctly, is after they have sent someone out and they've determined that there is a health or safety issue there, then they are doing something.
So you're saying, though, let me make sure we all understand this. You're saying is that they are not giving abatement. They're not pushing people out if they don't believe there is no unsafe issues. In other words, if they believe it's a safe house and they're living in there okay, they're not going to push them out of their homes?
Well, I think the examples Jim cited last Friday were there was a single-family residential that was abated, that there was it was determined that there was a health and safety issue.
Right,
and
I understand that.
All of it. And I think he also said that with every situation, it's different by the type of people and type of situation.
Yeah, that's pretty obvious.
In apartments, there were seven apartments that were abated, and that's a different situation than a single-family residential where there's not a house within hundreds of feet.
Yeah, I understand there's a distinction between all that, but what I'm getting at is people are actually getting abated because they aren't paying the electric bill. That's what this is all boiled down to, and that's why I myself have taken a pretty strong stance against what the city's doing. And all we are asking is that the city look at that policy and ask themselves, is this really a just thing to do to the folks?
You know, my question is this, is we make $2.1 million a year in late fees. And we were just discussing it. I mean, I've gotten late fees. I mean, you know, other people got late fees. I mean, you can have like 8 months of really good, you know, paying every time on time. You miss one day, you know, you're a day late, they get it for you. But that's okay. $2.1 million. Has any thought been given, and this is probably above your pay grade, and I hate to use this, but to taking like one or taking 5% of that, which would be like $100,000, and using it to help people that have gone through a process where they've gone out and tried to get help to keep them in their homes? Has anybody done anything with that?
This is Bernie again, and it's another great question.
Hey, I'm going to go ahead and hang up. You guys can go ahead and carry
thank
on.
You. Thank
okay,
you.
Hey, Martin, thanks so much for your phone call, and thanks for caring, because I know you really do.
Okay, thanks.
Right.
The late charges that are that you're citing, Carl, at $2.1 million in late charges that go to the general fund, become part of the general fund. The general fund, the purposes in this, I don't want to get too technical, but the general fund provides vital community services, police, fire, parks, streets, all those things. It is supported by property tax, sales tax, fees, those kinds of things. So if the question is, how about if we take part of that money and use it for some utility application, this raises two questions. One is, what isn't the general fund now going to do? Are we going to have less police, less fire? What are we going to do that we now don't have those funds to support? The second issue is the utilities are in a separate fund. They're not the general fund. They're what's called an enterprise fund. Enterprise funds are supported by that's the utilities, and they're supported by the rates they charge. There's not a cross subsidy. The general fund does not support the utilities. The utilities are supported solely by the rates they charge. So, if something were going to be done, it would have to be in the rates. So the question really is: could we raise rates to then provide this additional service? That really would be the appropriate question.
Well, that may be the appropriate question, but we're already raising rates. And we will be raising rates for the foreseeable future in the next couple of years. And what I think the people of Reading that are involved with this, I mean, this is two weeks in a row we've had front page news here, is that are we taking people that are really trying hard? They've got a family. They've got a mortgage. Or not a mortgage. They may be renting. They've got kids. They're trying. They're working hard. But they're behind. And as was said last week, well, yeah, they're, you know, they may be paying $150 a month on a $300 a month electric bill or utility bill. Yet, at the end, you know, how long do you carry people like that? Well, you know, I've got an answer for that. Linda, take us out.
All right. his answers, we're going to take a break, and we're going to tease you to come back on the other side. We're talking with Vince Carlson, the customer service supervisor, and Bernie Fargin, customer service manager from Redding City Utilities. We're taking your calls, 221-1402. We'll see you quickly. Yep, it's Free Fire Radio. You're listening to Carl and Linda. But this portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry. That's 2225 Hilltop Drive, right across from C.R. Gibbs. Anything jewelry that you want, if you're in the market, go see Leonard Silverman because it's the place to shop. So let's go to the phones and talk with Jim.
Jim, good morning.
Good morning.
You're up.
Two observations. Number one, I wish you guys would just be straight and call abatement eviction. Number two, I understand that if a person has their power shut off and they don't comply with getting it turned back on, then you can charge like $2,500 for a non-compliance, and it's continuous. You can put gas on your home, and you can run generators or power inverters using batteries to power your home. Are you going to consider that to be non-compliance if they don't plug back into your grid?
I'll try to answer this. Maybe we should have had Jim here this morning again. Your question relates to the abatement process. They go out, they do an on-site assessment. If it's safe, that's what their primary concern obviously is. Does someone connecting a generator meet the state law that requires utilities to be connected? No, it doesn't, because that doesn't provide water. It doesn't provide all the other utilities.
You know,
but it can. If you have the right setup, it can do that.
Okay. Hey, Jim, I think what one of the things that's come out is that you're required by law to be connected to power. There's nothing in there that says you have to use it, though. So I think if you had another ways of doing it, that if you wanted to not use electricity or you were off the grid, then there's no problem with that.
Here's another thing. If you're going to charge a non-compliance, then take it out of when the home is sold, have it in escrow, so that if they're only off the grid for a month or two, that at the end of the process, they can have that $5,000 subtracted in the escrow, and they won't have to come up with it up front.
Well, I think that there's a lot of things. Oh, and
if I could just add real quickly, the utilities aren't trying to collect that. The abatement process is done through development services. It's a general fund department that's separate from the five city utilities. We're not billing customers $2,500 a month. That's part of the abatement process. I just wanted to say that because I don't want people to think that they have to pay the $2,500 to get their utilities connected. It has nothing to do with it.
But it's still part of the process. Yeah. And Jim says, we can call it abatement. We can call it, walks like a duck and quacks like a duck. It's got feathers like a duck. It's a duck. We can cover it up. But anyway, Jim, thanks a lot. We got a lot of people on.
You bet.
We have a special question for Vince Carlson, who's our customer service supervisor. Let's do a hypothetical. Okay. I'm a single mother who has two kids, one on the way, and I've got a car outside that barely runs that I'm on fumes. I have missed my bill twice. I've got the pink slip. I don't have a job. I'm not getting paid support, whatever. It's the direst of dire moments of my life. I come into the office, and I ask one of the supervisors, could you please help me? You're going to shut me off. I'll have no power. My children are sick. What do we do?
Okay. Well, hopefully, the before the account reaches the point of disconnection, you do have quite a long period of time. It's about a 45-day period from the time the initial bill issues to the time that it actually reaches the point where, we do have to disconnect the services for non-payment. So it does give plenty of time if you're in that situation to apply for assistance programs. There are several assistance programs that are available. There's a state-funded program through HEAP. We also have our CARES assistance program. If you've had some type of a recent catastrophic catastrophe in your financial life at home, that we can provide some assistance through. There's also for low-income customers. If you are either 62 or older or are permanently disabled, we have a lifeline rate, which actually does lower the amount that you pay for the electric rate for the first 700 kilowatt hours of electricity each month. And so there are several things, you know, that we can offer to try to help you in that particular situation. And once again, each situation is particular to the individual. And so if the customer service representative that you speak with when you come in the office, you know, can't provide assistance, there's always a supervisor that can also come to speak with the customer and try to offer other assistance programs or ways to possibly help prevent the disconnection of the services.
Okay, look, this is Carl Lindebaugh here on Free Fire Radio. I've got another question about people that try and don't quite make that full payment. We're here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here 221-1402. Hey, Tex, you dropped off. Give us a call. This is Carl Lindebaugh. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hey, Wanda, we're in that last 4 minutes, 30 seconds.
Yes, I was just wondering. I know I would like to speak directly to the guests and ask them, you know, a lot of people have asked the question and about how do you, as an organization of our utilities division, what do you do to help people? Don't buff it off on other people. What do you do?
Well, we have, this is a good question. We do offer several programs directly related to our customer service department at City of Reading. We have a preferred due date policy where if you get paid at a certain time each month, you can call us and discuss, and we can offer a due date that will prevent the bills from going delinquent. We do offer like I said, the lifeline rate.
But, you know, care really doesn't help very many people. That is kind of minimal. And, I mean, I've never, ever had to, thank God. But I can tell you, I know people who have tried to get help through that. And it's minimal. I mean, you just don't get it.
Okay.
That's, everybody's kind of saying the same thing. Now, I know during the break we talked about that it's not something you all want to do. You know, here, and that you try to help each individual as much as you can, but
right.
What? But it, sometimes, I still believe if somebody is trying, a family is trying, then you know there should be some exceptions to the policy.
I agree with you. I mean, especially when it's down to some people who have absolutely. Which I ran into this one problem, and that is I went in to pay a bill for somebody who was very sick. And they wouldn't tell me how much it was, but yet they did. I did leave some money, which I thought would be about equal to what my bill would have been. And in fact, it was like $11, not enough. But, you know, they sent them a cutoff notice for that. I mean, I'm just going, what in the world?
Maybe this is Bernie. Maybe I can just jump in here. That one of the points you're making, which I think is really important for probably all the listeners to understand, is we are required under confidentiality laws to not share customer information with anyone other than the customer. So if you want to help a customer, we're not going to be able to tell you any specific information about that.
Sir, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a bill, and I paid $200 and some, and it was $11 short, and they still, on $11, and this person was in intensive care, by the way, when I went in to pay that bill for them. And I'll tell you what, I think we can work a little harder. I do. I really do. I think that we as a utility company can do an awful lot more to be more customer-oriented.
Well, I would encourage any if this issue comes up again, or anyone, if you come in and you talk to one of our customer service reps and you're feel like you want more information, or your issue isn't being addressed as completely or in a manner in which you would like it to be, ask for a supervisor.
You know, Wanda, you got some really good points here, and that's some of the things that, you know, that we keep talking about is, you know, is there's got to be a face in this. There's a face along with the utility company. You look at their mission statement. There's got to be a face. And I know you two that have been here, Vince and Bernie, you guys care. I mean, I know that. But there's got to be something that can be done.
But I want you to know that I did, in fact, tell them that this person was in intensive care, and I was trying very hard to help in getting this so that they wouldn't have to come home to utilities shut off.
Yeah.
And I believe, I'm sorry, I just don't see it. I really don't. And that's what I think. I really think that if the utility company and the general population,
Wanda,
would work together, I think we could make this a better ready.
I think so, too. Hey, Wanda, we've run out of time. Thank you so much for your phone call, though.
Thank you so much. I'll be with our guests, Vince Carlson and Bernie Fagin.
And just remember, this is Carl Lindabot, Free Fire Radio, KQMS 1400, and it's the good guys against the bad guys.